it's just amazing. But we definitely need to be using those spots if we got them. And it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Last week, we focused in on lying down in green pastures. Today, I want to take a look at the phrase, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Just like your body, your spirit from time to time requires refreshment. Is that not what a lot of people have planned for tomorrow? A lot of folks got the day off. Barbecue grills are getting cleaned up this afternoon. People are excited. They're going to go out to the lake. Going to have some friends over. Going to go here. Going to go there. Your body needs refreshment. Days like tomorrow where we celebrate our soldiers, hey, it's a wonderful day for you to go and refresh your body. Good laughter, good friendship, good times out with the family, that can refresh the mind. But we also cannot neglect the spirit. Your spirit needs refreshment. Sundays are great days for spiritual refreshment. You go into the house of the Lord, there's teaching, there's singing, there's preaching. And I tell you what, that can revive the soul. It could nourish it, make it feel good. It's a cool cup of water on a hot day. The fact of the matter is, you need to be refreshed. And if we don't refresh our spirit, we can expect very much the same thing as what would happen if we do not refresh the body. Burnout takes place. Fatigue. Weariness. We talked this morning about not being weary in well-doing. Why? Because your spirit, again, much like your body, has a bit of a metabolism. Now, we talk so often about what happens when a Christian doesn't do the right thing. But now it's time for us to talk about, during this passage of Scripture, what it's like when a Christian's doing the right thing. When they're going out doing everything right, and they're serving and they're working hard, you require spiritual refreshment. And again, that's why we have three services during the day, or during the week. Oh man, three services during the day, that'd be brutal. But three during a week. I like the Friday morning devotionals we do for those that are available to do it. That's pretty good. And again, I implore you, if you're sat at home in your pajamas, feeling, you know, tired and wore out and you're bored, how dare you? Show up on a Friday at 9 a.m. It's not too early. We've got coffee. We've got water. We've got good fellowship. Come in for a refreshing. Just to sit around and challenge each other and be challenged yourself. I love the conversations that go along with it. You know, we're talking Bible. Oh, sure, we'll slide here and there on some other things. But we got a good chunk of time. And sometimes it's an hour. Sometimes we've been there almost 2.5 to 3. We were there one time and it was about time to go to lunch by the time we got out of there. And, you know, that's good. We're sitting there and we're talking, hey, this is where I struggle. Hey, this is what I have learned. Those could be very refreshing times when we sit and we counsel over the Word of God. The Word of God has a refreshing effect on the spirit and on the mind. Good fellowship has a refreshing effect on the spirit. We require those things. We need those things. And we do damage to ourselves when we don't. It is like somebody who goes out on a hot day and they carry no water with them. Now me, I like water. I like to have water. I like to drink water. I'm not one to miss my water. It was something my doctor said, hey, we want to start tracking your water. Make sure you're drinking enough water. Don't worry, doc, I got you. You know, I sat there, I showed him what I drink. I'll do about maybe 3/4 of a gallon to a gallon every day. Why? Oh, I'm just thirsty. It's good. I would never be caught out on a hot day without water. Spiritually, we'll go days without some refreshment? There's a problem with that. Well, why am I so easily tempted? Why am I so easily struggling? Why is it that I'm not making the spiritual growth that I would have expected at my age and at my experience with biblical things? Why am I not growing the way I think I should be growing? I've been in church for X amount of time. This should be easy to me by now. Hey, are you as refreshed as you should be? Are you as, again, relaxed and relieved? Just that idea of he leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, you're out there. I mean, this is a very arid climate where we're talking about here. So when they finally get up to that water, they're excited to have it. And that only comes from a recognition of the need that you have for that. You know, it shouldn't be, oh, hold on, I got to read my Bible. When we see it as the refreshing time as it is, we will crave it. You know, I used to hear that phrase, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, I tell you what, if I lead him around in circles a few more times, they'll be begging us to go back to the stream. Right? They'll want that. We used to do that. We'd have the kids at camp, and we'd be out there, and we'd be running and having a good time. And so much so that when the staff came out with that water, the kids wouldn't want to drink it. And some of the people, you would come to me, Brother Bowen, what are we going to do? The kids don't want to drink the water. Give it time. Sure enough, after we took a little break, we'd been playing for, everybody was hot and sweaty. Guess what? Can I have water? Yes, you can. There you go. We got tons of it right here. They used to fill us up these big igloo pitchers with ice water. By the time those kids were ready for it, we would drain those igloo coolers. Why? They were thirsty. We get confused as to what we're feeling. Well, I don't, you know, I struggle with my spiritual walk. You're thirsty. Drink up. You know, I'm having a hard time. You know, I just, my mood's off. My mood's off. I'm cantankerous a lot. I'm grumpy. I'm struggling with this. You need some spiritual refreshment. You need to take those parched spiritual lips and put some water to them. You need to calm your body. Give it what it needs. And nobody can do that better than our Lord. Because the fact of the matter is, to go without spiritual refreshment, it is, again, just as detrimental to go a long period of time without taking care of your spiritual needs. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to begin to slow down in your spiritual walk. You're going to serve him less. You're going to be less mindful of those things. You're going to feel disconnected from the Lord. You're going to feel disconnected from God's people, from the church. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. That was the first thing they did wrong. And right there's where I'm going to stop. We can look at the second thing they did wrong in another sermon. I just want to look at this. What have they done? He was their water. And what did they do? They pulled out some broken cisterns and they pulled out some things that don't hold no water, but they were very trendy. They were very normal for their area. So they picked up those things and they did nothing. Aren't you tired of a world that picks up all this random stuff and people try to apply it to their lives and maybe they'll get a little bit out of it. Maybe they'll have a little, maybe it'll hold a little bit of water and it feels good for a second. But then after a while, it just stops working. I'm tired of watching the world do that. I get angry when Christians try to pick up the broken cisterns of this world, those things that don't offer real refreshment. They offer distraction, they offer sedation, but they don't actually offer real refreshment. They don't do anything to encourage you. They don't do anything to strengthen you. They just pass the time, right? And you see them picking up these things and being compassionate towards these things. And then all of a sudden, oh, well, I guess this Christ thing ain't working. You're not trying to serve the Lord. You're not following after Christ. You're following after these trends. You're following after these earthly vessels that are broken and hold no water. And you're blaming that on the Lord. He never told you to touch those things. What did he tell you to do? Come into the house of the Lord. Open up my word. Preach it. Let's sing songs. Let's encourage each other. Let's pray with each other. Those are the things that will refresh us. You ever have somebody pray with you? You sit there, you share a concern, you're all busted up and beaten over it. They put their arm around you, you put your arm around them, and you're sitting there and you're praying. You ever pull your head up? I'll tell you this, you pull your head up after an event like that, you feel refreshed. You feel encouraged. You feel good. You're not going to find that on the shelf somewhere at the store. You're not going to find that in some mantra you repeat in the mirror time and time again. It might make you feel good for a second, but it ain't going to do what real spiritual refreshment does. We invite problems into our lives when we refuse to be led by God. Well, I don't let anybody lead me. Listen, where'd you hear about that? Oh, my friend did that. And everybody else is doing it, and it kind of feels bad not to do it, so that's why I picked it up. So you followed them to the source. You picked up the thing you were led. Not driven. I understand we argue about, well, they made me do it. No, nobody made you do it. You saw it. It looked good. Everybody was drinking out of the puddle, so you drank out of the puddle. Now you got something wrong with you. Now you got a parasite. There was something weird that leaked into that thing, and you drank it up. Why? Because everybody wanted to drink from the green puddle on the side of the road. Everybody thought that was a good idea. No, we pick up these dangers, and we say, well, I don't want to be led. Well, who led you? How'd you find it? Oh, I had somebody suggest it. Somebody said it was a good idea. I saw a commercial. It was on sale. I saw a coupon for it. I said, here's my chance to try it. You need spiritual refreshment. If you are a child of God, you have a need, an ongoing need for spiritual refreshment. Well, I just read yesterday. Well, did you just have a nap yesterday? Did you just sleep last night? Yeah. And I bet some of you sloths, you're going to go to bed tonight too, aren't you? How dare you? No, you have a metabolism, don't you? You have a physical metabolism. Your body needs sleep. It needs food. It needs water. And after a while, those things will be used up and you'll need more. That's why about Wednesday, we come back. That's why next Sunday, we'll come back. That's why we don't cancel it for holidays or anything like that. Why? Because I need that nourishment. I need that refreshment coming from being under the teaching of the Word of God. Even me as the pastor, Sunday morning devotions, one of my favorite times. And I'm not kidding, I'm not being nice. You men who stand up and give devotions, you edify me. You help me, you encourage me, you challenge me. You know, Brother Dennis challenged us this morning. And that's a wonderful thing to be challenged. You walk away from that kind of feeling bad, but at the same time you go, all right, I'm refreshed, let's go, I'm ready to fight another round. Let's go for it. And I tell you what, even though we had today is Sunday and we had two services, tomorrow you need to be picking up the Word of God. You need to be on your knees praying to Him. You need that refreshment tomorrow the same way as you needed it today. We are not spiritual camels storing up spiritual refreshments and then going days at a time. You know those people, well, I tell you what, I go by for Christmas and I'll pop in again for Easter. And then right around mom's birthday, I'll always go. You're not going to fill up what you need in those three times. A real child of God will get hungrier than that. They'll want more. And the more you allow yourself to be refreshed by those things, the more you put that nourishment in, you put that refreshment in, the more you're going to want it. Right? You need to top up or you're asking for trouble. We see also that the Lord is the one who leads us. Who is it that leads us? According to this passage of Scripture, He leadeth me beside the still waters. I've got a saying in my house, and the kids don't think it's very nice, but it's very adequate. You're either going to go on the back of your feet or on the front of mine. Right? It's just, you're either way, we're going. Yeah? Lord doesn't do that to us when it comes down to refreshment. Come. A good shepherd, he doesn't drive the sheep. He leads them. Come, look. Come over here. You see this? See how calm and nice that is? Come on in. So often people confuse. They confuse what spiritual refreshment is. They think that if they can give you an emotional high with a rock concert, that's spiritual refreshment. That isn't how the Lord does it. Lord is a God of order, right? Isn't that how he commands things? To be both decent and in order. All right? There's a difference between the swelling excitement of things, or people who will sit there and try to logic, add human logic into things, right? They'll sit there and try to add some kind of a humanistic slant or some kind of sideways thought process, something that doesn't work at all, but they'll try to apply it to Christianity. And we're supposed to buy that book. You're not going to get spiritual refreshment from those sort of things. Who is it that leads us? Is it Dr. So-and-so? Is it this person? Is it that person? No. Who is it that should lead us? The Lord. And how does he lead us? Again, by this book and by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We see these things, we recognize them for what they are, and we follow. And the Lord lovingly leads us along. He doesn't want any harm to come to us. He doesn't want us to dehydrate spiritually. He doesn't want us to faint spiritually. He wants us to be strong. Why? Because there's that love. If he is willing to shed the blood of his son on the cross for you, well, don't you think he's willing to take care of you as well? Matthew chapter 6. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all things. God is looking down on you, and he knows your need. He knows what you want. He knows what your spirit desires. And not just that, but what deficit is there. Knows what you're missing. Knows what's not there that should be there. Hey, listen, you're looking a little pale. You're struggling in this Christian walk. Have you had enough water? Danielle and I, for our anniversary, not our anniversary, for our honeymoon, we went hiking down in Chattanooga. We're just hiking around, you know, doing that thing. And I was in a certain kind of shape then. We returned a few years later, and I was not in that shape anymore. You ever be walking up a hill or walking down a trail and somebody stops and says, are you okay? Please take this water. Have some trail mix. Sit down for a second. And you're just kind of sitting there going, yeah, I know it's hard, but I didn't know I looked like I was dying. Lord looks at you. He knows exactly what's going on with you spiritually. And you know what? He's not sitting there going, how dare you not bring water? He's not looking at you going, how dare you miss? You know what he's saying? Hey, come. Let me give you what you need. Get some water. Clear your mind. Get focused again. Get your strength back together. He cares for you. He sees your need. He wants to supply your need. Right? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That refreshment only comes from him. It's the only place. You got to seek heavenly things. Oh, there's a lot to be said about vague spirituality. Oh, I do this. I meditate 4 times a day and go up to the mountains and I only drink this kind of water and I never let chemical impurities touch my skin. And all these things that people are so proud of. Well, that's fine. Maybe you're cleaner. Maybe you're better. Maybe you're happy. But I'll tell you this. You're not going to find what you need spiritually in those things. Right? It's like a... I can't remember what that was, but somebody was joking about it. You know, if you're a sad person in Wisconsin and you get on a trip to Italy, you're going to be a sad person in Italy, right? You're just going to have more fun. You know, that's what's going to happen. You'll be in a different place, but with the same broken heart, right? You could take the most grumpiest person on earth, shoot them out into space, give them a week out there among the stars, and guess what? You got a grumpy person sitting out there in space. No traffic jams to speak of, but the heart is still imbalanced. You need to go to the Lord. We seek first the kingdom of God. What is it that God has for me for refreshment? What is it that he wants me to have and partake of that'll get my spiritual strength back to me? That'll put that pep back into my step. What is it that I need? But we got to go to the Lord for it. Of course, we know what kind of refreshment we get. We've been talking about it. We need to learn. We need scriptural encouragement. And I'll tell you what, you want some spiritual refreshment, you need to partake in some worship. And worship has many forms. Excuse me, I've known people brilliant at playing instruments. No words. They'll just play something. And it's a worshipful song, and it brings their heart closer to the Lord, and it's their gratitude, it's their love towards the Lord they're playing this, much like David and his harp, just playing for the Lord. You know what that's going to do to your heart? That's going to build you up. Now, I've known a lot of people, they make a big deal about coming up and singing specials, and I appreciate all you who do specials, but people sit there, they'll do that, but there's no heart to it. You want to know if somebody who's really doing something special? When you're singing all by yourself. When you're singing to the Lord and there ain't nobody around to hear. Now, please, I'd love to have more specials up here. But I'll tell you this, if you're going to sing up here, do me a favor. Sing in your praise time, in your worship time, your private worship time with the Lord. You know, I'll tell on Caspian on this. I don't know where he went. But I'll tell on Caspian on this. We were driving home from my mom's house yesterday. All of his siblings were asleep. There was nobody to talk to. And he had lost whatever he was monkeying with, you know, about an hour away from home. He lost it early in the trip. And I sit there, and I'm driving down the road, and I hear the singing in the back. We don't have a radio in the van, so if I hear music, it's coming from behind me. And I just listen to him sing. Ain't no one around, except Dad up there. He don't listen. You know, just singing. Do we sing privately to the Lord? Now, some of you are sitting there going, brother, it says a joyful noise. And there ain't nothing joyful about the noise I make. You know, I knew a lady, Sister Hall, down there, Violet Hall, down there at Flat Rock. She could not, when she was younger, she was a very good singer. But as she got older, those things left her, as they do. So she'd write poems. The most beautiful poems. Break your heart kind of poems. She bought me a Bible when I surrendered to preach. She bought me a Bible. And on the fly leaf of one of those, she wrote a poem about a child of God and the Bible. One of the most tear-jerking things you'll ever read in your life. Worship comes in many forms. Worship comes in whatever talent God gave you. You might not be a musician by any sort, but find the words. Praise the Lord. And that's not only going to show him your appreciation, but that appreciation, that gratitude in your heart, as well as that connection to God, guess what that's going to do? That's going to refresh your soul. That's going to make you feel good. It's sad when you got Christians out there don't feel good spiritually when the solutions are so easy, right? You get sick physically, you got to go to this doctor, you got to go to that specialist, you got to stay on the phone with your insurance company for 3 or 4 hours. You got to fight these things out, right? One doctor don't know, so you go see 4 others. You finally find the one doctor that knows, he's down there in Ohio, right? It can be a mess. The source of your spiritual refreshment, well, that's a right quick solution, isn't it? Those things are right there. We should not be neglectful of a solution that is so easy to come by. And I'll tell you this, we even have refreshment in good fellowship. It's good to see a fellow brother or sister in Christ. It's good to see a fellow church member. It's good to spend time. Now, I guess, of course, it does depend on what you're spending that time doing. If you all are fighting, that's not going to help you. If you all are gossiping, that is not going to help you. If you're sitting there being negative and being awful, that's not going to help either. But if you're encouraging each other spiritually, you're praying with each other, you're being kind and loving towards each other, that could be very spiritually refreshing as well. All things in God's kingdom that he has given us that we ought to seek first. And of course, where we get that refreshment does matter. It's got to be from the Lord. It's got to be the right. It's got to be the right stuff. You know, I'm very negative about some of these quote-unquote Christian bookstores. I'll go in there, I'll pick up a book and find all manner of heresy, all manner of unscriptural things in these books. They'll sit there and claim that the Bible says one thing, but when you go to that passage and you look at it, you say, well, no, that says the exact opposite. What is wrong with you? That's dangerous stuff. I was sitting there, I was going through, I was studying on this. I'm trying to find ways to make sheep interesting. And one of the things that came up under the refreshing of sheep is somebody asked the question, can you give sheep Gatorade? The answer was yes. I'm not a doctor. That's Danielle's territory. I can't play with that stuff. I don't know. I wouldn't do it. I sit there, I look at what Gatorade is, I'm afraid to give it to my children. The amount of sugar and weird stuff inside that stuff, I'm a little nervous about that, right? That, and if you've got a fluffy white sheep and you're giving them blue Gatorade, I don't know. Not a farmer, I don't know. But what kind of stuff would you give your animals? Well, you'd give them clean water, right? You'd make sure that they're okay. Make sure that water that they're drinking, it doesn't have parasites in it. There's nothing growing in there, no worm eggs, anything like that. It's going to come in and make a mess of their digestive system. You want to be careful with it. When we seek spiritual refreshment, we got to be real careful that there's not false doctrine in what we're consuming. We have to be careful. And that is, again, why we must be so close to the shepherd. The more we know what God has to say and what he thinks, the more we're going to be able to spot false doctrine, and we're not going to consume it. One of the biggest problems for Christians trying to nourish themselves spiritually or refresh themselves spiritually are those cheap little devotions. You ever see those? They come in beautiful covers, especially for ladies. Ladies, the little devotions they write for y'all, those day-to-day devotions, they are gorgeous. You ever see what us men get? We get like pictures of lions, black backgrounds, maybe some swords or something like that. You guys get some beautifully embossed covers on your devotions, but you look inside and there's false doctrine from cover to cover. You got to be careful. Oh, but it's just a little snippet. Well, how much is good? Right? How much is good? You know, ringworm, how much ringworm's okay? You'd say none, right? How much false doctrine is good for you? None of it is good for you. None of it's going to help. We want to make sure that we are abiding by good, clean sources of spiritual refreshment. Because I'll tell you this, there are a lot of people out there, that is what they offer. They offer sugary treats in the form of refreshment. Right? And that, you know, you get your Gatorade, your Powerade, that's what it is. It's liquid candy. Here you go. Yeah, but it refreshes you. Okay. But not in the way that you ought to be. And have some water. Have something that's good for you. You know, in our house, the kids get sick. We turn to Pedialyte, but we got to try to get that sugar-free stuff. Get those electrolytes back into them. We want good things. We want things that will help. Not these devotions that will lie to us. Not these books that will say, hey, live your best life now, and all you got to do is not pick up the Bible, but send me $500 and the Lord will bless you. We got to be careful with those things. Those things that will sit there and give you the full verse with no encouragement of diving into those verses. We need to dive into the Word of God. We need things that encourage us to check their work. Right? There's a lot of fluff out there. A lot of added things that people try to entertain as well as provide doctrine. It becomes a distraction. It becomes silliness. You know, when you sit there and you talk to another pastor and hey, how's your Sunday school going? What do you guys do for Sunday school? Well, recently we've noticed a dip in our attendance, so we've restructured it to where we've got about 5 minutes of teaching time. But a lot of it is group, he called it group communication time. And I said, oh boy. What's group communication time? Oh, they'll play a game, they'll play knock hockey, they'll play whatever. And of course, what they're doing is they're trying to encourage spiritual fellowship during those times. Hey, I love spiritual fellowship. I love getting people together. Come June 15th, I think, is when I've got it scheduled. We're going to have some fellowship out here on the church grounds with these kids. That's wonderful, but I'm not canceling Sunday school to do it. You know what I mean? I'm not canceling that devotion that happens in the middle to do it. We've got camp coming up. Appreciate, I know some of you have already given. Appreciate y'all giving to that. And make that easier, cheaper, if not free, for all of our kids to go. I think that's a wonderful thing. I appreciate y'all doing that. But we're going to have some fellowship. And we've had conversations. Who's going to preach? Who's going to teach what classes? Been very busy the last couple weeks working with different people over setting up classes, not just for the kids, but for the adults that will be there too. We got some fun stuff planned, right? Really looking forward to it, right? What's, to me, the main thing is going to be the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, right? The lack of sinful influence on your life paired with the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Now, will there be a lot of fun stuff? Oh, man, there's going to be a lot of fun stuff. But what's the main thing? Real refreshment. Real getting people together. My goal is that when you come up, you leave all that stuff behind. And when you come down, you've had such a clear communication with the Holy Spirit, whether salvation or just a child of God getting closer to Him. That's what I want. That's what I want. To get rid of all the cotton candy and all the Gatorade and all the Mountain Dews of refreshment. I want to get rid of that, and I want to give them something real. That's our desire here. Something real. On a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Friday morning devotion time, whenever the Word of God is presented in this church, it is my desire, not just as the pastor, but as a church member, that we get rid of the fun doodle stuff and we get down to what is really going to work in your spirit. What's really going to help you. That ought to be our desire. Go to the Lord. Lord, what do you have? We want good stuff. You know what we want? We don't want shallow teaching either. All right, we want to get deep into the Word of God. Tell me the things that are uncomfortable. Tell me the things that are hard to understand. Tell me something. Show me something, Lord, in Your Word that I have never seen before. I want to get a new understanding of this. That ought to be our prayer as we approach the Word of God. I don't want a shallowness. There is a lot of shallow teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Right? Sermons that are pretty much summed up with, God loves you. God wants you to be happy. God says this about tithing. I want to get into the full network of the Word of God. Those things are important, yes. But I want the full Word of God. I don't want diet Bible. I want the full thing. I want to see exactly what it is, even if it hurts me to learn it. Even if it bugs me, or changes me, or riles me up to get excited about something. I don't want to avoid certain passages of Scripture. You hear some of these people, they write Christian books. Well, we don't talk about that. Why? No one will buy the book. So that's not a ministry then. You're selling stuff. I get so tired of that. Well, we've got a music ministry. Is it out of a church? No. Does it edify people? Lord, we've got to be real careful with what we say because we want to be able to do a Methodist church the same way we would do a Baptist church and maybe even sometimes a Catholic church. So we got to play all sides of the field. That's not a ministry. That's a business. Take your $20 for the ticket, right? But don't call it a ministry. It's a business, right? And if we're not teaching and preaching the Word of God, don't sit there and act like the church. You know, these parachurch organizations. Well, we're a Christian society. What does that mean? Well, we gather money together and we give it over to the people that need it for these reasons. How much of it goes from your pocket to them? Oh, we're really good. We're really good. 60 cents for every dollar. Where does the other part go? Well, to pay us and to build things up and, you know, help get bigger outreach and... Mm-hmm. And what are you? Well, we're like a church. You're not like a church. Not like a church. You know, if we raise some food, we put it on the table, and we gave it to somebody. There you go. What was on that table? He got. We didn't take 40% for ourselves. At least I hope not. Anybody walk away with a box of popcorn or anything? I hope not. There you go. That's what a church does. They feed the hungry. That's what we do. But you can't be sitting there. No real organization, no real authority, and call yourself a church organization. You're not. Quit playing around. Right? We don't want shallowness. We want the real deal. We want some depth. You know, some sermons that you hear nowadays, and perhaps you would, I hope you'd never say it of mine, but it could be so. They got the scriptural depth of a pudding cup. You'll sit there, you got one verse, maybe two verses, get a couple good spoonfuls of the Word of God in there, but for the most part, it's the preacher just talking. Trying to talk about information and putting down what's going on in the world today. And hey, we've all taken our turns at that wheel. But if that's the majority of the sermon, you ain't preaching the whole counsel of God. And what the Lord gives us, it's clean. It's clear. What is it that we open up? I don't open up the teachings of church fathers. I do not open up the thoughts and opinions of famous Baptists. I don't sit there with a collection of Charles Spurgeon sermons, preaching through them, hoping nobody has ever heard them before. That's not what we do. We open up the Word of God and we preach it. It is clean. It is unfiltered. It is unfooled around with. There's no additives. And the only preservative that's needed is the Lord's hand. It is good the way it is. Because the Lord Himself, what He does is He brings you to that good water. He brings you to that good refreshment. And that refreshment, I want to take a look at how it is. Not only do we see His leading, but we see the nature of the water is still. Sheep don't like fast-moving water. Sheep aren't good swimmers. Spooks them a little bit, from the sound to the maybe the depth of it. It spooks them. You're out there leading them. The shepherds say you got to lead them beside still water. You can't take them up to a rapid moving stream. That's going to be dangerous for them. Spooks them a little bit. See, the Lord's particular. He knows you. He knows you. And He's particular about what He's going to give you. Some of us, I mentioned this before, we learn on different levels. You better believe the Lord's going to come to your level and move you up. He's going to give you exactly what you need. You know, some of us, we had, we used to have a teacher, Mr. McMahon. He'd come in and he'd ask you, Mr. Rowland, how are you on a scale from 1 to 10 today? Well, I don't know, Mr. McMahon. I didn't think about it. Give me a number, 1 to 10. Quantify it. Well, I don't know, I kind of feel like a 7. A 7, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, Mr. Rowland. And he'd go on to whatever it was he was doing. And I was just trying to figure out if the guy was messing with. One girl, she came in. He goes, how you doing? On a scale from 1 to 10. She goes, I'm a 3. Went into his office, grabbed a Snickers bar, dropped it onto her desk. How you down? She goes, I'm feeling more closer to a 5. He goes, well, it couldn't have been so bad if you went from a 3 to a 5 just over a Snickers bar. You must be doing better than you think. And we move on and start teaching. Now, some of us, we walk into church on a Sunday morning and we're a 7. And praise the Lord, you're a 7. Some of us come in for some spiritual refreshment. You might be a 9. You might be a 10. Hey, praise the Lord. But some of us, we're going to walk in those doors. We're a 3. We're a 2. And no Snickers bar is going to make us feel better. The Lord's going to meet you at your 3. And meanwhile, that person sitting across the aisle from you who's at an 8, He's going to meet them there too, give them their refreshment. He knows exactly what you need, how you need it, and He is so in love with you, He's going to give it to you. Now, it's your job to make sure that you take a sip, though. Don't play around. Don't knock it off the table. Don't ignore it. Don't fall asleep. Stay close and paying attention to what it is that God gives you. He gives you that refreshment that is beneficial to you. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. We look at that first part of that verse, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed. He loves you. He's going to care for you. Hey, I tell you what, you love your kids. I hope you do. I bet you do. Many of you talk enough about them that I believe you. Love them. If they needed something, would you not give it to them? Bible talks about that. Hey, if they asked for a fish, would you give them a snake? If they asked for bread, would you give them a stone? I mean, I guess it depends on how big of a character your child is. But for the most part, you know, Melody comes up and she'll do like this. We're trying to teach her sign language because she's slow to read, you know, or not read, but talk. She refuses. She'll sit there and gabble to herself, and she'll say words. All right, Melody, what's this? No, come on, say it. What is it? But then you'll sit there, you'll walk out of the room, doggy, 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 doggy. So we'll teach her some sign language every now and then just to help the communication. She'll come over to her dad, her, like this. All right, sweet pea, what do you want? You want a banana? You want some? What do we got? Let's take a look over at the kitchen, see what we got. Right? What? I'm hungry. You know, one of the kids come running into the house. Dad, I cut myself on this. What am I going to do? I love them. I'm gonna take it. I'm gonna clean it. I'm gonna give them a Band-Aid. You know, kiss the boo boo, make it better, send them on their way. Why? Because that's what love does. The Lord loves you. The Father loves you. What is He gonna do? He's gonna love you like a father loves their child. He's gonna see what you need, see that you're hurting, see that you're running a little low, and He will refresh you. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us what we need to do in the light of that understanding, and that is casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Some of us will sit there, hey, I don't think so. I was in somebody's apartment one time, and I'll tell you what, it was, I'm going to be nice. It wasn't the kind of place you wanted to hang out in. It was a little rough. And I ain't a picky person. I'm not. But I'm in there and I'm afraid to touch stuff and very careful where I kneel down, very careful. But their air conditioner was also out. So I was sweating and everything was dirty and I was very uncomfortable. And they come over, hey, would you like a glass of water? No. We'd have big old potlucks in the community. When I became a property manager, I stopped having potlucks. I catered. Because we'd have people who'd bring in food to the potluck, and I'd been inside their homes, and they would bring in these large dishes. Matt, you gonna have some of this? What is it? Oh, I'm that toast intolerant. I'm sorry, I can't. What is that again? Yeah, no, it doesn't agree with me. Does not agree with me. You can't. We used to have this expression: you can't eat from everybody's house. You know, when the Lord gives you something, though, you know you can trust it. You ain't got to question Him. I question just about everything. When people start talking spiritual matters, I start to question it. Is that really what the Bible says? But when I open up that Bible, and I know what the Lord has to say, I don't question it. When I've got cares, when I've got concerns, when I'm getting dehydrated, I'm spiritually sweating in the face, things are getting hard. I'm getting that weary and well doing. What can I do? I can take my care and I can give it to Him. And He'll refresh me. And it goes back to what the Lord said. My burden, or what is it? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. We give Him our cares. We pick up the burdens He has for us. And we find refreshment in the lightness of the load, in the easiness of it. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. You ever get the feeling you've lost your mind? Or it ain't working right? Some trial will come your way and you will mess it up. And you'll sit there and you'll go, what was wrong with me? That ain't right. Now talk about Snickers. Remember those Snickers commercials? You're not you when you're hungry. You're not going to be the tip-top Christian soldier you ought to be if you're not regularly refreshed. You need that renewing, right? You need that study. You need that worship. You need that time spent alone in prayer. You need that. How often did Jesus Christ Himself, the Son of God, pull Himself away from ministry, go out to the wilderness for days to fast and to pray? Because even He saw the need for spiritual refreshment. Now, I'm not talking about when was the last time you had a vacation. I'm not going to ask you when was the last time you had a day off. I'm going to ask you when was the last time you took some time to renew your spirit with the Father. When was the last time you took that private time? If you're sitting there and you're flipping through the calendar in your mind, it's been too long. You need daily renewing, regular refreshment. And that could be hard depending on your schedule, depending on your workload. That can be hard. But let me remind you, if you're not taken care of spiritually, it is going to affect everything. If you're dehydrated in the body, does that affect how far you can walk? Does that affect how much work you'll do? As a matter of fact, one of the bigger things that takes people over to the ER is dehydration. Could you imagine just not sipping enough water? You're over there. Now, I understand somebody's got a real illness and it's taking it out of them. I got that. But there's some people out there just work all day, never take a sip of water, end up in the hospital getting rehydrated. That's us spiritually. We'll sit there, we'll have issues. Spiritually, we won't be able to do what we'd like to do. Spiritually, we won't be able to do what we should be able to do. And then we sit there and we grumble about it. Well, I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, I'll tell you, you're wore out spiritually. And you can't go on through your day. That big old busy action-packed day you got, you're not going to be able to survive that thing. Nothing's going to go the way that it should if your spirit ain't where it should be. We need a daily and regular renewing of our mind. So we see there, he leadeth me beside the still waters. Is the Lord leading you? I mean, you know the command. I tell you what, as a preacher, I probably talk more about spiritual fitness than I do anything else. Reading, studying, prayer, service. You need those things. I bring it up in almost every sermon. Very important for you to do. You've got access to that command. Right, you've got the Holy Spirit dwelling within you that says, yes, we absolutely should do these things. You've got everything. The Lord has led you. Right? Many of you, you have a Bible. If you don't own a Bible, you let me know. We'll take care of you. Okay? We got so many hanging around here, I'll hook you up. But there ain't no reason for us there's no reason for us to want for spiritual refreshment. And after all, that is the theme of what it is we're talking about here. I shall not want. I shall not want for rest. I shall not want for refreshment. And as we sit here and we look at all these things that have been said tonight, and we look at all the things we have access to, you should not want for spiritual refreshment because you've got it. You've got it way more than some people at given points of history could ever dream of having. I mean, to think about it, just do me a favor. I know we're at the end of the sermon here, but pop your hand up if you've got more than one Bible. That is a luxury. For a family to have one Bible, that is a luxury in some parts of this world. It's illegal in others. Raise your hand if you'd say you've got more than five Bibles at your house. You want them for spiritual refreshment? Anybody here, you've got access to sermons that we've stored online. You've got the internet somehow. Oh, okay, all right. How many hours do you think is on there, brother? Hundreds? Thousands? Who knows? One of these days we'll get real bored, we'll count. How about this? You got access to a radio? Oh, yeah, brother! You got access to good Christian music on there? Drink up. Man, drink up. It's good. It's good stuff. Right? Many of you, you've got the good physical ability to make it into church today. Hey, praise the Lord. That'll do it too. You know, I don't. We got some members getting rides from people just to be here. Hey, praise the Lord for that. On a good Sunday morning, you look out, and hey, there is everybody. Hey, we've been praying for so-and-so. You know, I was surprised they made it in today, the amount of stuff they went through this week. Hey, man, praise the Lord for that. Get your nourishment. Get that refreshment. Because otherwise, what's going to happen? You'll dry out. You'll wear out. Maybe you're sitting here tonight and you're wore out. What you need is spiritual refreshment. Everything's there. It just needs you to bend down, get that water, fill up your cup, and take in that refreshment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you provide so much for us and we're so very grateful. Lord, the way that you give us food and physical things, but Lord, you also take care of us spiritually. We have access to so many things. You know, for a while there, I was talking to my mom, Lord, and she was talking about how she couldn't make it out of the house. So she'd watch what the church was doing there online. They had a little thing they were doing. Lord, we've got access all over the place to your word. We've got access to all the things that provide us refreshment. Lord, help us not to be hesitant to reach out to the things you've provided for us and refresh our spirits. Lord, it is a sad way to live dehydrated spiritually. It's a sad way to live when we get wore out. So help us, Lord, not to become complacent, not to become lazy in the refreshing and the renewing of our minds. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.